at a high level than paying that man $60 million a year, I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with it. If Brock Purdy replicates some of the success he had last season and he does it mostly without Christian McCaffrey, that would be something. That would say a lot. If Purdy continued his play at a high level, and you don't have McCaffrey for a chunk of the season, that could be day-to-day, week-to-week, who knows? I'm working under the operation that he's not playing. You're not available now. You're not on my radar. You're not on the depth chart. You're on the sideline. So what does that mean for Brock Purdy, a quarterback? He plays lights out without Christian McCaffrey. Do we have any question?
I don't
even want to get into the money aspect. We're not going to have a question about what he's worth and what he deserves and who the hell should be the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers moving forward.
I don't even think he needs to play lights out. Just play like he did. Like, I didn't even think Monday was like a lights out performance. I thought it was just a really good performance. He didn't even throw a touchdown. Although, you know, we could argue about whether he should have or not. But if he plays like that and they win games and he's spreading the ball around and they're in control, dude, I'm not worried at all. Like, at all. And yes, he will earn every single freaking dollar.
Let's go to Michael C. in San Jose. Michael C., what's happening?
All right, fellas, I want to talk about CMC. I think Shafke keeps mentioning that we should have played Mason more last year. And I think a lot of people like Mason. However, when CMC's in the game, he does so many things. Out the backfield catches, the run up the middle, the run on the edge. When JP's in the game, he runs up the middle or he runs up the middle. He doesn't have the hands to catch the ball. He doesn't have the speed to get to the outside. So when you put him in the game, I love him. But when you put him in the game, you do half the defense's job because they already know what's coming. You're very limited. So Kyle knows that. I know that. Shaq, you should know that. So if you're saying that we could have saved CMC by playing Mason more, I don't think that's a valid point.
A drive here and there is going to, like, depreciate the entire offense that was scoring 30 plus a game. Like, I disagree. That I, for example, on Monday night, Chris Conley and Ronnie Bell got touches or got reps at least out there. They weren't out there a lot, but they were out there a little bit. Did anyone notice anything dramatically different in terms of the routes that they were running and how the defense was bending it? You're trying to get guys acclimated to what they might be asked to do later on in the year and just mix it up a little.
It was also because Debo's played a little running back and Freddie Ayuk's not up to speed. So you kind of were pressed to play those guys. Plus Ricky Pearsall, not available right now. You thought he was going to be available. So you thought those guys would be available. And so, therefore, Ronnie Bell and Conley were pressing the action a little bit here because of injuries or whatnot. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's going to be a very interesting injury to monitor as we look at week one here with Christian McCaffrey not playing with the Achilles tonight. Now, they had a great win. They had a great win on Monday night. But it just, so far this season, and it's very young. We still got 16 games left. Every week there's something with this team now. that to me, I think we kind of missed
NFL,
the mark on that one. But no, with the Niners, it is NFL, but with the Niners, it's like, all right, cool, you got Trent, you got Ayuk. Oh, no, wait, you don't have Christian McCaffrey. Oh, wait, McCaffrey has Achilles tendonitis.
Well, we kind of knew during the preseason, though, about it. Because they kept listing him on the injury report, and he would have missed a month, essentially.
Yeah, he missed a couple weeks. But they were saying, like, hey, if he had a game on Sunday, you play him.
So I not that we saw this coming, but it wasn't a huge shock. And I was shocked that he wasn't active because it came down so late. But, like, they kind of been telling us this.
Well, they kind of just lied. Bonte said it. He's like, if they had a game on Sunday, he'd play. No,
yeah,
he wouldn't.
No,
and now they're moving. And now Shanahan just said, he's like, if it was a playoff game, he'd play. I was like, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
Why do you say that?
So I go by that notion. Because they're lying.
He clearly wasn't ready during when they said a couple weeks ago.
And I'm taking these guys at their word. Since I'm not down there covering, I'm taking them at their word what they say at the podium. Now, I understand, too, that they're going to be very vague on injuries because you don't want to tip your hand to the opposing team, which is why McCaffrey's doubtful so far this week. Now, remember, last year against Minnesota, we didn't think Christian McCaffrey was playing.
But he had the concussion?
He had a concussion. What did he have before the Minnesota game?
I
remember they showed him before the game,
dude,
and he looked so wired, and he was, like, doing all the neck stretches and everything.
His face mask.
Yeah, it was like, what is going on? What is going on? And he played that football game and scored a touchdown. So I got to take these guys at their word. I got to take them at their word.
Well, and we also don't know, like, if there was a re-aggravation or soreness or, like, I just don't know. I don't know enough. Like, meaning, as in, they said at one time, oh, if there's a game, you know, tomorrow he'll end up playing, right. blah, 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 blah. And then something happened either at practice or overnight or whatever. I don't know. Information is changing. And how you, feel day to day can change.
And here it is. Elijah Mitchell was ahead of Jordan Mason on the depth chart last year. And some people may think, well, he didn't deserve that. Did we forget Elijah Mitchell's, what was it, 2021? Do we remember his season as a rookie?
Yeah, but he's always hurt. I mean, that was the big problem.
But he was ahead of Jordan Mason on that depth chart. And in there, I will break, Levin. I get it. It's 9-12. It's 9-10 right now. I'm getting ready to break. All right. 9-12, 9-11, what do you want me to break?
This goes back to... never forget, and at 9-11, we are breaking.
That goes back to like the diversity of running backs. I want a bowling ball, I want a speedster, and then McCaffrey's like all world. Like, I want a variety of backs out there, just like I want a variety of body types at wide receiver.
It's a delay in game, Lubman. You can't audible at 9-11 to say the break's at 9-11 when you put in 9-12 10 minutes ago.
Well, that was a last second audible.
That was Spadoni. Yeah, that was Nick Sorensen coming in there.
We got minus 5 yards.
Well, Shanahan calling it timeout on behalf of Wilson.
No, it's actually Steve Spagnuolo getting the timeout call on the first game of the year. That's what I'm doing right now.
Calling Spadoni timeout. Spags.
Might be my cousin. But I'm fake, so fake Italian.
All right, last thoughts on McCaffrey. Walk back Wednesday. All that's coming up here on the Morning Rose, brought to you by Safeway.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldwin with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Just have Baldy on. Go back on YouTube. Go back on the Odyssey app, wherever you download your podcast, and go find that one. Brian Baldinger breaking down the 49ers, Jordan Mason's performance, their defensive line. Their offensive line, Dominic Pooney, he loves Pooney. You can tell Pooney's the type of guy Baldy loves. Says Pooney could be a 10-year pro. You got a right guard and a left guard in Banks and Pooney. I feel good about the interior of this offensive line for the foreseeable future. Debo, he talked about Sorensen. But obviously the big, big news around the Bay Area as we get ready for Minnesota. My trap game, week 2, Sunday at 10 a.m.
I love you.
Seeing ghosts.
The disdain a Jets fan has for Sam Darnold is unreal.
Oh my god.
Okay, so my buddy wore his Mark Sanchez jersey and he's like, "You don't understand. Sanchez is levels above Darnold." Yeah, and I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "We won high level games with Sanchez and he was good." It's like Darnold was never good.
Never.
It's crazy. It's crazy listening to them.
It's Chad Pennington, Mark Sanchez, and a cup of coffee with Ryan Fitzpatrick lifetime. That's it.
Yeah,
in your lifetime. Yeah, they had Vinny Testaverde for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, old man Vinny was sweet, though.
Old man Vinny was good. He was solid.
Boomer?
Boomer Esiason had a nice little stretch for them.
Ken O'Brien. Was he UC Davis?
UC Davis. Yeah. He was in the same class as Dan Marino. Dan Marino, John
Elway.
Class
of 83.
Ken O'Brien, he was with Altoon for a number of years. They loved Ken O'Brien up there. Outside of that, but Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson. Like, you hear, who was it that was basically ripping Peyton Manning? Was that Peyton Manning that was ripping Zach?
No, it was Troy Aikman. They were talking, he's like, well, this team is coming off the 3 worst years in the history of quarterbacks.
The history of quarterbacks. The worst 3-year stretch in the history of quarterbacks. And now was Zach Wilson third string in Denver? Is he third string?
I think so.
Behind Jared Stidham?
I think so.
Damn. We went from loving Zach Wilson. Now the Zach Wilson phenomenon was something else. Maybe we need to walk that back. Because the Bay Area was in love with Zach Wilson.
Till the game.
No. The Boise State game happened. Yeah. And everybody went crazy.
Of course.
Crazy. And then the Coastal Carolina game the day after baby Chaz was born. Now I'll never forget. It was like, oh, he ain't it.
Not to get too sidetracked here, you bring up Chad Pennington. Do you know who plays for Marshall currently?
His son.
Cole Pennington.
Yeah, his son.
And he looks exactly like Chad.
Chad coached him in high school. He coached his son in high school.
I always loved Chad Pennington.
Him and Randy Moss. Oh, Marshall. Such a sick connection.
Oh my gosh.
I told you Brock kind of reminds me of Chad Pennington?
I could see that. I love Chad.
I did too.
But who was Leftwich at? Leftwich was after Chad at Marshall.
And then he had the high ankle sprain, yep. And they lifted him up.
Yeah, they lifted him up.
That was great. I love Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, I do love him too. He's a coach. Is he still coaching?
He was OC for the Tampa Bay
for a while. Yeah. But he was solid as a quarterback.
If you're an offensive guy and you stand around Todd Bowles long enough, you will get fired.
Oh boy, Todd Bowles got Tampa rolling.
By the way, the Chad Pennington during the Tom Brady Patriots era, the only quarterback to outside of Tom to win that division.
The Wildcat was the only quarterback.
That was exactly the comeback. He's comeback player of the year that year for the Dolphins.
He was.
Tony Sperano, RIP.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Leftwich is not coaching right now. He is adios.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to go stand next to a McVay, a Shanahan, you know, one of those types. He'll get a job in 5 seconds.
Well, he was going to get a head coaching job if he wanted to leave after that Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
He could have gotten a head coach. The Jaguars, I think, were very interested in him. Maybe he backed out.
Wow. 2023 got fired from the Bucs organization. That's it. I love. There's a lot of sons. Anthony Beck's son played at Iowa State. Iowa State beat Iowa with a game-winning field goal. Dominic Rayola, he's the son of a lineman who was at Nebraska. There's a lot of sons. Obviously, the Sanders, Shador, and Shiloh. There's a lot going on with Colorado, though. Oh, my gosh. I can't keep up with it. You want to talk about a news cycle. Every 6 hours or something new on that team.
I saw a story. I don't know if this is real or not, but I guess Deion Sanders doesn't want the Colorado band to play their fight song after touchdowns because they want Shadur's rap song to play instead.
You're kidding me.
Deion's got about one.
I saw that.
Week.
I think it was like either Barstool, I think, tweeted that out, so I'm not sure how true that is.
Serious?
But like, I believe it, but also I don't know if I believe it, but yeah.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
He's going to be a great coach.
No, it's all over the place.
Someday.
I guess he did order. A school spokesperson denied a recent report that Deion Sanders asked the school band to refrain from playing the university so that his son, perfect timing, could play instead his son's song. That is not true. Nobody ever asked a band to refrain from playing his fight song. Oh,
they didn't
man.
Ask. They demanded.
We'll get back into the Niners, but Bonte, I have a board that I'm going to keep track of, and it's the power ranking, and it's the big double Bs, okay? And no, we're not going big baller brand.
We going Bill Belichick?
Yes. This is the Bill Belichick board. So it's the triple Bs, all right? The Bill Belichick board. These are the five teams that I believe to be the most likely to land Bill Belichick next year.
Number five.
Let's go right off the bat. Carolina Panthers. They're a hot mess. Why would he want to take over Carolina? Complete control. Just start from scratch, okay? Just start from scratch. All right. I don't know what's going on. They might have the number one pick again.
They probably will. Number four.
Philadelphia Eagles. As long as they keep winning, they're going to stave off Bill Belichick. But I think that they're, as they lose, if they can, down the stretch, Belichick is going to rise on the big board with Philadelphia. But right now, I've got them in the number four spot.
All right, number three.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm. The owner came out and said that Dougie P has got to start winning, and they got to figure this thing out. And I love Doug Peterson. Great guy. I would love to go on a boat in Myrtle Beach with him because that's what he looks like. He looks like a Myrtle Beach dad. But I'm telling you right now, Jacksonville would give Bill Belichick all the money in the world, the cons, and they would give him the control.
Number two.
The New York Jets.
Okay.
I don't think he wants to go to the Jets because I actually think it's a worse destination than people think. Okay. But to stick it to Kraft, he might do it.
All right. I don't hear a team that I thought I was going to hear.
Well, Buffalo's not on my list. They're on the outside looking in.
Number one.
That's if McDermott fails in the playoffs. As of today, the number one team is hand down. No doubt about it. You got to bring Bill Belichick back. If you're Mara, the New York Giants need to be looking at Bill Belichick yesterday.
So two teams not on this list.
Who are yours?
Win, baby.
On my list, low on the list is the Dallas Cowboys.
I think they're McCoy's going to get re-signed.
But the team that nobody's talking about.
I think he's getting re-signed, but keep going.
Team I'm thinking about?
Huh.
The Las Vegas Raiders. And let me tell you why the Las Vegas Raiders. You talk about total control?
Uh-huh.
He would have total control with Mark Davis. He'd do whatever he wants with Mark Davis.
That division?
They're going to have a high pick. You've got some premium players on that football team, and it's the Raiders. And you know he has a respect for Al Davis. I think the Raiders are dark horses here for the services of Bill Belichick because I think Antonio Pierce could be one and done. And with full control with the Raiders, you could bring them back to relevance. Bill Belichick would be a freaking god with the Las Vegas Raider fan base and in the NFL. And the most important part again, Bill Belichick seems to want to be young again, right?
Yeah.
Vegas can kind of tell. Listen, he seems to be one of young. I'm not even joking. He's on Snap Face, Insta Face, whatever you want to call it, Instagram.
You need the heat, Joe Shasky. Those old guys, they need the heat, right?
They need a little heat. They love those heat. They love the their retirement homes in Florida and whatnot. Full control with the Raiders. Max Crosby on one side. Devontae Adams, if they don't move him. Top pick.
Oh.
I would put the Raiders on your list, Shasky.
I mean, not even Devontae, because Devontae's probably going to get traded. Brock Bowers is already better than him, by the way. It's already better.
All right, so the reason why, and we're going to do this every week for 1.5 minutes, as we've spent 1.5 minutes on it, it's the Triple B's, the Bill Belichick board of where he's going to go next year. I'm telling you right now, I can't envision him outside of the Eastern time zone. I just can't. He is an Eastern Seaboard guy. That's why the majority of my teams are in that particular region of the country. Just say it out loud. Mark Davis lands Bill Belichick. I can't. Until otherwise proven,
Davis will give him all the money in the world and total control.
Yeah,
he gave it to Gruden. Mark Davis loves a name, and he seems to close the deals on names. The Raiders sign guys.
So you're going to go to a division with Harbaugh, Andy Reid, and Sean Payton?
Why not, man? It's the NFL. Ugh. It's the NFL.
Yeah, I'd be looking at like, McDaniels.
I mean, Harbaugh, you just mentioned him. He chose the Patrick Mahomes division.
Right.
He's not scared of that.
Yeah, no, nobody's scared of that. Nobody's scared of that. To be the best, you got to beat the best, right? The New York Giants is very interesting. Going back to New York City, going to the Giants, to stick it to the Jets once again. That was intriguing. That's a team that's on my big board.
Okay.
The Dallas Cowboys are still there, no matter what. How does it end for Dallas? They may make the playoffs, but how does it end? Do they get blown out in the playoffs? Because they get blown out in the playoff game.
Another one and done?
All of a sudden, they're back at play. I don't think he's going to mess with the Jets.
I don't either, but I have them on here because I do think Woody Johnson's getting so old, he might actually consider doing it. And the reason why I think that that's a... Like, I think Buffalo will be in the mix at some point this year if McDermott falls. He wants to go up against Kraft. I could feel it. Anyway, that's it.
Yeah.
The Bill Belichick board, I think he is we both called it, a rising media star.
Oh, he is. But he also mentioned that, I want to get back into coaching.
Oh,
I'm not done coaching yet. So I'm looking at the NFC West. There's going to be no availability. The NFC South, would he look at New Orleans? Would he look at Atlanta? Atlanta apparently, I think, wanted to give him the job, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
I don't know what happened with that situation. I don't know. But you're telling me he would be a better coach than Raheem Morris in Atlanta? Atlanta has all the talent in the world. And they go out there and score 10 points against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think we've overrated their talent, but I get what you're saying. They do have talent.
They have talent.
Kyle Pitts is just...
They don't have an identity. Kyle Pitts is disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He's undefeated. I drafted him a couple years ago in fantasy. It was like, never again. Never again. Yeah. I don't even look his way. Don't even put him in my queue. No.
Got a touchdown last week.
He did. It was fluky as hell. I saw it live on the Reds. I was like, yo, of course.
It was fluky
as hell, man.
Like a Giants victory in the middle of the Padre series.
Belichick would be a failure with the Raiders. Who knows?
The odds would probably say yes, because that's all they've had. But yeah. I wouldn't be mad at the hire.
Would he want to go to the New York Giants? I don't know. He's got a good defensive line. I guess you could start there with that defense.
I just think you get carte blanche to just kind of start over.
Thibodeau, Dex Lawrence, Brian Burns.
I mean, you get Malik Nabers, the best wide receiver he's had since Randy.
Malik Nabers,
Edelman, but you know where I'm going.
I hear what you said.
Wes Welker also
I hear what you said. All right, 888-957-9570. Baldy, can the Niners play at the same level without CMC? Will they skip a beat?
But you can't play at the same level without Christian McCaffrey. Credit Jordan Mason and everything else. On Monday night, but you're not going to play at the same level without him. He's just too much of a force for Kyle Shanahan to move around and put in different positions and exploit matchups in the passing game. But, you know, he has this history now, and I'm the biggest Christian McCaffrey fan there is. But he has this history. He had 400 touches 1 year in Carolina, and he was banged up for much of the next two seasons.
Baldy seems to be very skeptical on Jordan Mason. I think, like, let's just lay this out. Will he go for 170 every week? No. Could he go for somewhere between 85 and 110? Is that a reasonable?
Right.
You'd be a really good player with that. But in this system, now I feel like their offensive line is now way different with Pooney because
Pooney being in there gives you the ability to run to the right side, which I just felt like they didn't have last year. I think their offense is actually a much better. Just adding that one player in at guard, I think it just changes things for them. I do think Jordan Mason can be around 90 to 110 yards every week. I think that is sustainable.
28 carries?
No, that's not. What if I got him down to like 20?
How explosive 22? Is he? I think you're going to need a backup for him. I think you got to get, in this situation, Isaac Garrido, Pat, whoever it is.
I want to see Breida, a little burner.
Well, Breida's not on the roster.
I know, but I think they can bring him back. Yeah. Like, I think this is where I go back, diversity, change of pace guy. They need a guy to pitch one to the outside who's going to try to beat you around the corner.
Could Garrido be that guy? Garrido does have speed.
I don't know.
He does have speed. We just haven't seen him yet.
I know.
We haven't seen him yet. Maybe he got three snaps last week. He got three snaps. That was eye popping to me. It's like, whoa, okay. Isaac Garrido's on he made the stat sheet. It's going to be very, very interesting. So I got a text. I'm not going to reveal who it was from, but bring in Bill as a head coach of the Niners and move Kyle to OC. Yeah, that's not happening. That's not happening. Did you hear Belichick, though, when Kyle offered him? He goes, yeah, they offered something to me, and, you know, they have a good program up there. I really respect the Shanahans, but, yeah, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't going up there to be anybody's assistant.
Well, I mean, it's like, and Bill Gates, well, we want you to come in, but not be the head guy. It's like, he's not going to do that. Yeah, you're that rich, famous, and powerful. You're not taking steps back at that point in your career.
Anything else you notice after rewatching the game from Monday night? Anything else pop out to you? Other than McCaffrey not playing and Jordan Mason doing what he did Monday night against the Jets. Anything else pop out to you?
Yeah, I think that Saubert, the backup tight end, is much more valuable than I gave him credit for. He was an excellent blocker, and I've wanted them to go to more of the two tight end sets over the last couple of years. Felt like Dwelly was a pretty good blocker, not the greatest, but like a pretty good blocker. This guy seems to be a mauler. So he was a guy that stuck. I mean, that's going really deep into the weeds, backup tight end blocking, but thought he was really good. And also, they utilized Juice in the passing game more than I thought I saw. Like, he didn't get all the looks. Like, he got the two catches, but he was used out of the backfield over and over, especially on the short stuff underneath. And I was like, that's interesting. On one of them, it was the Jennings play where he ripped it. I mean, you want to talk about great throw. The Brock Purdy throw to Juwan Jennings was a beauty. Yeah. He held the linebacker with his eyes and then just whoop.
I think that was where I was going there with Kyle Juszczyk. He's a very valuable piece in this equation without Christian McCaffrey. Helping out the running backs, lead blocking, coming out of the backfield. Now, you talk about snap counts and everything. Eric Saubert played 19 snaps on Monday night. 19 snaps, PFF graded him low. He was one of the three lowest graded Niner players on offense. But again, PFF, from what I saw in my eyes, Eric Saubert had 19 snaps, and I thought he got a hat on the hat. I thought he did a hell of a job blocking. So this PFF grade that he got, this low grade, I don't see it. I thought Saubert was very, very solid in that football game. But Kyle Juszczyk, he had the two catches, as you mentioned, the 34-yarder down the sideline there. He played a lot of snaps Monday night. He played 40 snaps in all. He may have to get bumped up to 50, and he's a weapon. If you can't find Christian McCaffrey, and he's on the sideline in street clothes, Juszczyk is a guy you can utilize in a pass game.
He had a really nice catch on the short one because it was kind of behind him. The guy blasted him as he was catching it. It wasn't a great Brock throw. He just wasn't accurate with it. He threw it behind him. But did you see anything from Brock that stuck out to you? Good, bad, or indifferent?
I just see Brock growing as a guy playing the quarterback position. The game is completely slowed down for him. He's not in a rush at all. When he hits Jennings on that third down, on that deep third down throw, and you just see the calmness that he has in the pocket. He sets his feet. He doesn't get outside of his fundamentals. I see a guy just progressing and growing mentally as a quarterback. Physically, he's making a lot of good throws. Hell, some throw to Ayuk there on the sideline, in the back of the end zone, I should say, to throw to Juszczyk. I see a guy just getting better and better. Nothing spectacular, right? Because we've seen the scrambles before. We've seen him scramble out of the pocket. We've seen him make off-script throws. I just see a guy who is maturing and looking like a veteran now in year number three of his career.
The ball placement on the one to Debo along the sideline where the DB slipped and fell, that was a perfectly thrown pass.
Yep.
That, like, it was thrown to the inside, which forced the DB to try to close off the sideline. And then Debo just took it and spun back inbounds. That was just such a great throw by Brock. I know it seems easy and everything, but like you throw that thing off just a little and the DB's hitting you in the abdomen or in the oblique, as opposed to you catching it, being able to stop on a dime and turn upfield. His ball placement is excellent.
No, yeah, but he's just growing up and maturing as a quarterback. I got no issues with him. 19-29, 231. Sure, he almost threw an old throw. Quarterbacks always get away with an old throw or two, but I'd never sit there and panic saying, oh, Brock Purdy's making a terrible read. What is he doing? Is he not seeing it? Well, got those vibes Baltimore Christmas night, but outside of that, you know.
The only play that I look back on in real time and then watching it back, there was a short pass to Kittle that he kind of rushed.
Yeah.
And it was on a play action, and he was going to his left. Had he just set his feet, and he was under duress before that, so I think he was a little rushed. He sets his feet. He's got two guys over the top that he can go to. I mean, we're picking apart one play. And even then, he had a completion.
He's another play, the Sabre play. He didn't read that coming down to see him. The safety's lurking. Like, his name was Kyle Hamilton. He should have picked it off. You know, that was a bad read. That was probably his worst play of the game.
I agree there.
In terms of passing tips there with Brock Purdy. Defensively, again, watching it back, Malik Collins is that dude. Malik Collins is a problem for opposing offensive lines. He was in that backfield every single play, it felt like. He popped out on screen, number 99, looked a lot better than Javon Kinlaw ever did in that uniform. I hate saying that because Moot Dog is a friend of the program. Friend of the program, Moot Dog. He did not look good, by the way. But
54 on him didn't look right.
Well, 54 didn't look right, and yeah, he didn't have a good game.
Colt McKivitz jammed him up.
I mean it's not good.
He's homeless.
It's just not good. It's just not good. You talk about a guy who may be out of the league in a couple years. Mook Dog, man. My guy. You're my guy.
I didn't see Solomon Thomas in that game.
You know what? It's a great question.
He was definitely on the field at times. Okay. I just don't think his name was ever called. Because, I saw his name like on the field once or twice, but you had to really be like looking for him to see him.
Did they have him in the pregame? I didn't even see that. I fast forwarded through. Did they Solomon Thomas Stanford?
No, they don't do that. They don't do that on the ESPN.
That's NBC only.
Yeah. Only on NBC. Okay.
Yeah. NBC. They don't even do it on Amazon.
He had three tackles.
Solomon Thomas,
two solo, yeah.
All on special teams.
What did Kinlaw do?
That's a great question. Let me pull him up.
What did Kinlaw do? But no, Malik Collins on the second watch. What a trade that was! What a trade that was! Malik Collins, that was a good pickup. Day one, it's just like, wait, this guy has it. Because Guru knows him for the Cowboys. He played on the Cowboys for a long time.
That's a big
Guru
boy.
Guru said he was a good player.
He had three combined tackles, Javon Kinlaw.
Not bad.
Nice.
He made the stat sheet. He made the box score.
It is sad, but it's true.
He made the box score.
Did Grant Cohn and him get a chance to have that friendly one-on-one?
Maybe they had a combined tackle.
It was a one-on-one. I don't know if it was friendly.
Leonard Floyd. How about Leonard Floyd? How about Leonard Floyd?
Not as newsworthy as his first game last year. But.
What happened last year for those that don't know?
I'm going to sit this one out, man.
I'll explain it. For those who don't remember, on the fourth play of Aaron Rodgers' season last year, Leonard Floyd tackled him or sacked him, and that's how Rodgers injured his Achilles.
Adam, it's too much for me.
I don't know what to make of the Jets. I assume they're going to be better.
We say Moog Dog and his cell just seems to get derailed.
The man had a squirrel in his mouth.
I still hit up Moog Dog on IG.
Yeah?
He'll be posting. I'm like, let's get a big dog.
Squirrel?
Get your money, big dog.
He put a squirrel in his mouth on IG.
He's different.
I missed this one. Okay.
Yeah. He's from the country.
Yeah, clearly.
It was, boy, that trade. That trade did not age well. So you could all have misses. Maybe that'll be my walking back. Javon Kinlaw will be a good player. No, I didn't think he was going to be all pro.
Oh, my goodness, Bonte.
We have a lot of takes on the morning roast.
I would be shocked if Trey Lance is a starting guy quarterback in week number one.
Some are better than others.
I'm going to be real with you. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks play for the 49ers. Undeniable talent.
And we get a bit carried away with a take.
He asked you about the presence.
Oh, my God. The moxie.
When he steps in the huddle,
bro,
there's a different swagger to this offense.
Sometimes we have to walk it back.
Poor Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not going to say more because he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of cake.
Bro.
He's got the J's.
It is a Walk It Back Wednesday on the Morning Roast.
That never gets old, man. That video makes me laugh every single time. Because you know what? I don't know if we're in the spot that we're in without that video.
Who knows?
Everybody was like, we got to tune into the morning roast now. Who are these guys? We had Trey Mania was a thing. And last year, as we were having a little spree cleaning in the house, the Trey Lance hoodie was on the ground. And it said, just give it away. You're not. I said, no, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to give away the Trey Lance hoodie. I remember I wore it in game one of the Giants Dodgers NLDS. Fred Warner was sitting behind me, not in front of you, sitting behind me. I don't know how I got better tickets than Fred Warner, but they're going to Arizona time. For Trey Lance's first start.
Like four and, drops in
and I popped my collar to Fred Warner. I goes, let's get it on Sunday, big dog. Help out Trey. He goes, oh yeah, you know, we got it. And I was popping my Trey area hoodie in front of Fred Warner. And he's probably looking at me like, dude, you have no idea how much of a scrub this dude is, man. Okay, buddy. I love you, Fred. You like those drops? That's art right there. That's Picasso.
What are you walking back?
Oh, no, you start.
All right.
Because yours has been pretty weak. You got to come strong this week.
Well, I've been begging for Arch Manning. And I've been dogging Quinn Ewers, who's the quarterback for Texas. I just don't like Sark. I'm just going to just come out and say it.
He is arrogant,
and
huh?
I will. The whole Texas program is arrogant.
The glasses. You see his glasses? He wore two different shades. He had a pair of shades on in the pregame, and then he had different shades on during the game.
Yeah, so Quinn Ewers is the quarterback of Texas who stayed an extra year and is basically stymieing Arch Manning from playing, who's Peyton Manning's nephew. And one of the number one recruits, making a lot of money in NIL. I just want to see him. And I thought, Quinn Ewers stinks. Quinn Ewers stinks. His first game against Colorado State, he threw for 3 touchdowns, 20 of 27, 260 yards, the interception. This game against Michigan, at Michigan, in the Big House, 24 of 36, 246 yards, 3 touchdowns. He looked phenomenal. That might have been the best game I've ever seen him play. Again, I'm kind of hate watching him.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure Arch is that good. Maybe I'm wrong on that. So I'm walking it back. Quinn Ewers, I apologize. You are the quarterback for Texas until the playoffs.
Until the playoffs.
Then I'm coming back around.
No Bo Nix, huh? He's going to be fine?
It's 1 week.
Okay.
I'm learning my lesson.
What you got, Lovett? You go ahead, Lovett. I got to
Well, you guys remember my...
So I've been right about a lot of things lately.
My...
okay, Steiny.
Bonte's also having a hell of a year, just like
Steiny. What? I want to know what. What
I've got some good takes this year.
Yeah, what are they?
I don't remember. You tell me. No, go ahead, Lovett.
I can't think of one thing you were right on.
Stop it. I've been right on a lot this year. A lot.
He's been right about Yaz. He is a good player.
Yaz?
I was right about Yaz. I was right about Bob Melvin being hired. Questionable hire.
What do you mean?
It was questionable. I don't know if we should have hired the guy.
Toughest year of his career.
Come on, man.
Got him on the edge of the wild card.
Well, hey, man, if he forces Farhan out, you know, I'll give him a win in that book. No, my walk back is, you guys remember last week, my bold take for the season was the Chiefs will not win a playoff game this year. I'm standing on that one. I'm standing on business on that one. I'm holding that one out for the whole year. But I said the Bills will be the team that knocks the Chiefs out in the divisional round. I'm going to walk that back a little bit.
The season hasn't played out yet.
I like Josh Allen a lot. I think he's a very good quarterback, but he's just got no one around him to help him out.
Hold on. When we have a take, we got to let the season play out. That's got to be a rule. We got to wait for it to play out and then walk it back.
Well, that's why I said I'm standing on the Chiefs will not win a playoff game. I'm just walking back who I think will upset them in the divisional round.
Why, Buffalo dropped 34 of it.
The Cardinals.
All right.
Josh Allen has no receivers right now.
If I told you Kyler Murray, though not the best quarterback at all in the league, is the most fun to watch when you have nothing on the line, would you agree or disagree?
He is fun to watch. He's very unpredictable. Yeah. He's so small, too, so he's so shifty.
He's fun.
And I like the memes that come out of it whenever he throws a touchdown. It's funny.
What you got?
Marvin Harrison Jr. wide open right now, by the way.
So I don't want to get in trouble here as Bonte's laying the ground rules for the segment, but I, too, said a certain team on the pregame show. Shout out to the pregame show Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. I said the Cowboys aren't going to make the playoffs. They'll probably make the playoffs.
I think McCarthy gets re-signed during the year.
That being said, Deshaun Watson, and I did say at one point, the Trey Lance trade was the worst of all time, just given what the 49ers got in return, which is basically a nothing burger from their quarterback giving up all those picks. The Deshaun Watson trade is going to go down as not only the worst trade, but also the worst contract in sports history. He is awful. Did you guys watch any of that game?
Yeah, I watched the whole game.
Watched a lot of
done. He's no, he stinks. Like, there's no coming back from that.
He threw so many deep balls that were like 20 yards in front or out of bounds of where the receiver was. Like, he's not even close.
Like, I would honestly consider playing Jameis like as soon as possible. Wow. That's how dire the situation is there. I think Jameis Winston gives you a better opportunity to win than Deshaun Watson right now. No, and that's how much I trust Kevin Stefanski. Because look at where they were last year with Joe Flacco, who's 50 years old.
Yeah.
And they improved.
Yeah. You know, I want to go with the New York Giants on something I said, but I just laid the ground rules about something.
What'd you say?
Well, just that, you know, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll could have fixed that program. And, you know,
they were one
of my week one upsets.
What? No, they weren't.
I had them beating the Vikings in week one.
No, they weren't.
I had them beating the Vikings. Home opener. Things are different in home openers. Third, no, it wasn't. The Cincinnati Bengals were.
Danny Dimes is so bad. I watched the preseason game when Baldy was doing it, and I was like, Baldy, the guy is horrible. He's like, Joe, he ran for 800 yards and threw for 15 touchdowns the year he was his breakout year. He's not good.
I thought they beat the Minnesota Vikings. I thought they would. I was dead wrong about that. So maybe I will walk that pick back. Although the ground rules is, and I'll give everybody a mulligan this week, but Joe Shane and Dave Ball are probably going to get fired. Because this quarterback is, they scored 6 points against Minnesota.
How is John Mara sleeping after the three touchdowns from Saquon?
Dude, he's not sleeping at all. He's not sleeping at all.
He told the GM, boy, I'm going to have a hard time sleeping if the most favorite player of all the fans goes to the Philadelphia Eagles.
I may walk back a prediction about the Chicago Bears later in the future. Because I thought they were going to make the playoffs.
That was ridiculous. Well, after you yelled at me to calm down on Caleb.
But you know what, though? You know what, though? They still may make the playoffs because Jordan Love's hurt. So they may rack up some games here. They may rack up some games. That's my walking back. I'm going to do a light one. New York Giants. What we need to do, and maybe this is assignment for Lovin, you got to dig up old tweets of ours.
Be careful on that.
Dig up old tweets.
Oh, man, who knows what awful things I'll find.
How long have you both been on Twitter, by the way?
Since, like, 2011, 2010?
Okay, yeah, that's when I started, too. No, so that's when I started, too.
I had a take with Terrence Jones at Kentucky. I said he was the next best thing. I was like, wow, Anthony Davis wasn't the best player on the court. It was Terrence Jones. He was the best player on the court in the national championship
game. You know what you guys could do? Just, like, give me a name who might pop up some on your Twitter feed. I'll plug that name in. I'll search, and I'll find just the worst take you had on that name.
Boy.
Otherwise, I'm not going to just go wandering through your Twitter feed looking for a bad take.
Trey Lance, wow. I have that tweet somewhere.
Do you have that framed?
It was like, just watch the Trey Lance film. This is Pandemic Radio Morning Rose. I tweeted, watch the Trey Lance film. Wow. And then Brad Graham, SF Niners, bro, isn't he good? Telling you, bro, we got to get him. I'm throwing everybody in. Because you know what? I laugh about our video because we could lead into it. But there's a lot of people who are out there in the Trey Lance train and have slowly walked it back by going, oh, Jimmy's back. Oh, Brock Purdy. There's a lot of us on the Trey Lance train. Trust me. I got the tweets to prove it.
We'll always have Houston.
We'll always have the Houston game.
So last night was the last night
16-23, 249, two touchdowns.
Last night was the last night that you will see the Giants in the City Connect jerseys. They're being retired.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And they're going to have a new City Connect moving forward. How will you remember the City Connect jerseys? I will remember them the same way I remember the black 49er jerseys. Never should have made them. They're super ugly. I don't like them. They're horrible. And I'll associate a dark period of time with those uniforms.
Talk about extremes.
What?
No, just your hatred for the City Connect. I just always found it so funny how much you hated it.
They've been in organization for 170 years, and they have sick uniforms going back all the way to the beginning. And they created uniforms that had a different shade of orange. Like, it was volunteer orange for a bunch of, I just moved here, give me a number, called 628, not 415, transplants, who put them on, and they're like, these are cool.
Be sure to call in or text at that 628, by the way, 888-957-9570.
And they have a G that looks like a Gatorade G on their jersey. You can't even read the numbers. They went with the Carl the Fog, which is the most transplant name ever. Bonte and I grew up in, we never called Fog Carl. Yep. Okay, so that's triggering.
No, that's triggering for you.
It's triggering.
Don't be hating on Carl.
Stupid.
You, know, you hate all the weirdest things. Jerseys, cats, no, hold on. Fog.
Let me get in here. Let me get in here real quick.
They're
before you guys
jerseys.
Start fighting, and we got a kiss and make up, we got a show meeting, and I want to be quick. I don't get triggered no more when people say San Fran and Carl the Fog. I realize that I can't control everything that comes out of people's mouth. I once did. I thought I could control everything, right? Oh, I can control the world. No, that's a lie. I can't control what people feel about Carl the Fog because I see it all the time, or San Fran. I just quit the fight. It doesn't trigger me no more. It doesn't. But
it's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
My final thoughts. You said on this on the rip before you went on that long journey to break it down to Jersey, Shasky. I won't remember the City Connects. I won't remember them at all. Like, at all. Like, I was just, yeah, they wore those a couple times, whatever.
I'm surprised that We Believe jerseys have, like, all now, everyone's like, oh, I like those. I've never liked those jerseys.
The We Believe jerseys were horrible. Represented a dark time of Warriors basketball.
Exactly.
I talked to Bully about it all the time. He was like, yeah, the jerseys are not good.
They're
the
like
color schemes and
colors.
Everything. Yeah,
they're terrible. The only ones I see of those, though, are, like, Steph ones, which obviously symbolize that's when everything started to change.
No doubt.
So I do think that's a cool in a way.
Here's
like,
the irony.
Yeah.
Here's the irony. Steph didn't play on that team, number one. Number two.
No, but he had the jersey.
No, I know. But yeah. The number two part is the best jerseys they wore that year were the cable car jerseys that should be their jerseys, which are amazing. And the Baron Davis one is all time.
I'll agree with you on there. That'll just be my final thought. Just jerseys in general, the NFL gets it right. More often than not, you can do some throwbacks. That's fine. Keep it simple. Keep it standard. Like the Broncos, they whiffed on it. Like, when you do have an opportunity to do a clean house, just do it right. Take the time with it. It feels so rushed now. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. The Texans. What kind of a redesign is that?
Right. Just go back to your throwback, like the Rams. Just go back to your Eric Dickerson, Jim Everett, Kevin Green uniforms. It's easy. It's not that hard. You'll sell a bunch of money by sticking with one jersey and everybody's happy. I don't get the whole jersey change. Everybody's changing jerseys left and right.
You referenced to me in the break, the Lions jerseys. They went back to the more, whatever, Honolulu blue, whatever the name
Honolulu
of that
blue.
Shade
all
is.
Blues were sick last
the
week.
No, they're awesome. Sick. And the numbers are cool. They're clean. It's a great look. Like, I'll say this. If you're going to go like new meets retro, I think the Vikings with the matte purple, and then they have the purple uniforms with the way the numbers are, the
they kind of look old school.
They look old school.
They look old school. They're
me,
modernized.
That is the chef's kiss of modernizing an old school look. Love the Vikings uniforms.
My final thought is, farewell to the City Connects. 30-16 is their final record in the jersey,
oh my God,
so
they kept records,
you can't say
they
were losers in them. But
they kept records. They lost last night, so they
did.
Were
so,
losers.
Of course, it's a fitting end. Of all the alternate jerseys that the Giants have had over the years, the City Connects were definitely one of them. Like most things in the Farhan era, we'll probably not remember much from them.
I got a quick thought. You mentioned yesterday, because I just saw the photo pop up, Kyle Harrison and the Giants were at Levi's Stadium for Monday Night Football.
A few of them were, yeah.
The Niners, you know, usually when there's celebs in the building, they show them on the video board. They saw the Giants in the building saying, we're not going to kill
Panda
the
Panda literally anywhere else.
They did not pay. You know what I'm saying? Like a Warrior game, they'll show guys. They're like, we're trying to keep the vibes high.
On that note, when someone who is representing our country goes out onto the field and they like, you know, you see some of the military people and they celebrated the police officer who helped Ricky Pearsall. I will say, like, we glorify all of this negativity in stadiums, like fights. And this, you know how many people stood up and clapped? It was almost unanimous. Everyone was like giving their appreciation. We never show those videos.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Because when I'm in there, I'm like, dude, there's so many more people respectful than what they show. It's like, let's show this fight. It's like, Yeah, everyone else takes their hat off and is like respectful.
A couple bad apples. I think
the vast majority of people going to games are great people.
Yeah, no, a couple bad apples. Who's the guy from Philly who left that radio station 94 WIP who would always tweet us?
Oh, John Marks.
That loser? What a loser he was. Talk about losers. Sidney Connects and John Marks. They go well together.
I smoke with Mike, though.
Yeah, we will, too. We will, too, Hugh Douglas. We will, too. That was Fast 5, brought to you by Xfinity at Home or on the go. You'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Steiny Guru next. What did they talk about, Spadold? Christian McCaffrey? Guru's worried? Oh, he's going to be really worried. Oh, he's going to be worried. Good luck, Steiny.
Hey, Spadoni.
Shut up!